Ellen and I are smiling from ear to ear today because our kids are here and our grandkids are here. And so I'm going to get to introduce them and embarrass them. I get the privilege of embarrassing them. This is a great day, isn't it? I mean, seriously. On the right, I want you to meet my oldest son, our oldest son, Tyler, and his girlfriend, Morgan. Y'all can just wave. And we're delighted to have them. Our youngest son, Seth, and our lovely daughter-in-law, Katie, that we love dearly. And Raylan May and Tripp Tyler are in the back. Do me a favor, let's just welcome them today. It's a fun day for us. Hey, I want to know something. You ever been in a season of life where you weren't sure you measured up? You ever been in a season of life where you felt a little overwhelmed by the circumstances surrounding you? You ever been in a place where you're really not sure you had all the gifts and skills necessary to cover all the bases that you were being asked to cover? Now, I'm going to take a chance here and say that for most of us, yes, we have felt that kind of a season. I remember specifically one of those many years ago as we had gone to a new church. And I want you to know, it was just, to be honest with you, I've never been in a place that had such great dysfunction. And the funny thing about it is we were interviewing, nobody ever mentioned it. Isn't that amazing? So I don't know, we'd been there probably 3.5 to 4 years. And it was every week. When I say every week, it was every week. There was some dynamic of dysfunction that was taking place. And I remember it just would wear me down. I didn't have the capacity then. I didn't have the leadership understanding then to know how to handle that kind of conflict all the time. I mean, all the time. And then I didn't have the emotional wherewithal, to be honest with you. I didn't have the emotional wherewithal to deal with it. I mean, I would tell you that I would go through something on one day. It would take me 2 days to overcome. And by the time I got over of overcoming that, there was another one sitting at my desk waiting to take place. And I remember specifically, I walked into the house one day after work. And I sat down with Ellen. And I said, sweetie, I've got to tell you something. If I don't get better at handling this kind of stuff, I'm going to leave the ministry because I'm telling you, it's taking life out of me. I feel like right now, with every month that passes, there's so much of me that's leaving and not being replenished. And I said, I've got to do something to create the gifts and the capacity with which to handle this. And to be honest with you, friends, I went on about a 2-year journey after that. I read everything I could on conflict management and how to deal with a dysfunctional, difficult people. And I out of that, I wrote literally a small essay, but it's called 10 Steps to Constructive Conflict. Because listen, here's the deal. You can either have, everybody has conflict in their lives. Do you know that? Everybody. There's nobody that doesn't have conflict. But you can either have constructive conflict or you can have destructive conflict. And one of the things that I really tried to do, and Ellen and I kind of worked through all this together, was to come to a place that we could do the best in our ability, because you and I don't determine all the outcomes, do we? You can go in with the best intents, the best notions, but you and I don't know always, we just don't control the outcomes. But to the best of your ability, how can you work to have constructive conflict? It was just a season in my life that I recognized really clearly that I didn't have the capacities that I needed to pastor this church unless I grew in my leadership capacity. Now, I want to tell you, I want to teach today on this topic. How do we grow ourselves in order to be able to grow and work with others? Let me say it again. How do you and I grow ourselves so that we are able, if you will, to grow and work with others? Honestly, this is a kingdom principle of the gospel. If you don't know it, some of you are thinking, well, wait, Ron, this is more on leadership. No, I want to tell you, the Bible deals so clearly with leadership. And what we're going to do is understand today that one of God's designs and desires for us as people of Christ is that we grow to a place that you and I have the capacity to help grow other people. I want you to know, you and I are not ushered into the kingdom just for ourselves. What do we say at Catalyst all the time? God does not bless us to only bless us. God blesses us, what? So we can bless others. And so we have that. Hebrews 5 says this. In fact, the writer says, in fact, though, by this time, you ought to be teachers, You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You see, the writer of Hebrews wants us to know that you and I, we are called to be on this journey of growth in our faith. We are called to grow in our faith, so he calls it teaching. We would just simply say we are called to grow in order that we can help grow others. He says, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, he's saying, listen, at some point you have to ask yourself, am I ever going to grow up in my faith? Am I ever going to take another step towards maturity and seasoning in my faith in Christ? And he's asking us to just look at the capacity that we have and get to a place where we can teach others. And literally what he's saying is, these words can be translated to say, so you can begin to model your faith for other people and how you live. That it's so distinct, so different, that people say, oh my goodness, I understand now what they're talking about when they say that. He said, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish evil from good. He says, listen, you don't have to be a yo-yo in your life of faith. At some point, and this is what I was in that capacity that I was telling you about, I was a yo-yo emotionally. And at some point, we have to get to that place that we're not in this yo-yo capacity, if you will. I love Ephesians 4:16. Paul says, and Jesus makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Don't you love that phrase? As each part does its own special work. And notice what it says. As we do our work, we help the other parts grow. So that the whole body is healthy and what? And growing and full of love. My friends, let's make no mistake about it. The Bible is specifically clear to us that we are called to grow ourselves in order to help grow others. We want to look at Exodus, the 18th chapter, and I want to tell you why. Because as we continue in our series of Life's Greatest Lessons, what we find here is Moses is a man whose leadership capacity has changed. Please hear me. He has been brought to a whole nother place. His position, his ministry has been elevated. There's so many good things that are happening. And as you continue reading, though, we find that there is a dilemma in Exodus, the 18th chapter. And the dilemma is this. God has elevated Moses, and he's elevated his leadership. But the thing about it is, Moses has not elevated his leadership capacity. In fact, Moses has become the bottleneck that the people have to work around. Moses is the bottleneck. Listen to Exodus 18. It says, the next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. And they waited before him from morning till evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, Moses, what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening? Now, I want to tell you, most of the time, all of us have bottlenecks in some capacities of our lives, whether that be at work, whether that be in our families, whether that be in our marriages. There are sometimes that we just have bottlenecks that we just don't seem to be able to move around and beyond. And this is what most of the time happens. When we have a bottleneck in a situation, most of the time, we either feel overworked, overwhelmed, or overbooked. Any of you relate? We either feel overworked, overwhelmed, or overbooked. And the folks around us, please hear me, the folks around us are underserved and underused. So I say it again. They're underserved and they're underused. And most of the time, our teams or our family organizations, they feel stagnant or they feel stalled. And what is common and comfortable, because that's the way we continue to relate, it's the way we continue to do work in the office, what is common and comfortable, please hear me, is neither effective nor is it efficient. And finally, what we find is that new leadership is not being challenged, nor is it being raised up. One of the most common occurrences in ineffective leadership is that this poor leadership can absolutely just be, if you will, a hindrance to growing not only your work or your situation, but even growing others around you. I think God speaks very clearly here about a principle that most of us need to work on. I know I do and continue to. As God elevates our ministry or our position, our station in life, just our station in life, you and I will need to elevate our capacity as a leader and as a person of influence. Please hear me. Because this is true. This is absolutely true for all facets of our life. Let me give you some illustrations. If your child moves from elementary to middle school, do they not need to grow in their capacity of responsibility and leadership? Somebody else is now going to have to do more homework than they have before. When you graduate from high school and you make your way to college, do you not have to grow in your capacity of leadership and responsibility? Let me ask it a different way. When a man and a woman decides to get married, do they need to grow in their capacity to grow another person? The answer is unequivocally yes. Listen, when you and I get married, please hear me, friends, it's just not about you anymore. You know, how many of you got that? I mean, and if you didn't, you got it in about 3 months. The truth is, there's a learning curve here. I mean, honestly, when Ellen and I do premarital counseling, we instruct the bride and the groom that what we want to say is, you know what, you've got to define a new purpose for your lives. And that new purpose is this: you need to ask new questions in your life. And this question for the man and the woman is this: how can you every day help that person that you have joined together with, how can you help them become the best person in Christ they can possibly be and that God has designed them to be? We tell them all the time, you got one role, man. That one role is when you get up in the morning, your call is to bless another person. I want to tell you, you will never do that if you don't grow from selfishness to selflessness. You'll never do it. And you will constantly be biting and fighting and having difficulties, because the reality of it is, when you and I come to that place that we think we're mature enough to get married, then we have to grow in our maturity, right? I mean, it's just the truth. And if not, I promise you, you will languish in that. You will languish in that. Second thing, when you have children, how many of us think that when we have children, we are not called to grow in our faith in order to help our children grow in their faith? You know, the church, I want you to know, the church is a subcontractor. They're not the main contractor. Okay, they're not going to be the architect of your child's faith. You and I help create that design. We help work towards that. We help pour into them. And I promise you, for you and me to do that, we have to grow in our own faith. Remember what we say, you can't give away what you don't own, correct? So there's this principle that is true for every facet of our lives that we are called. Deuteronomy 6 says, these are the commands and decrees and the regulations that the Lord God, notice what Moses writes, these are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord commanded me to teach you. You see, Moses is having to grow in some ways to fulfill this role. And he says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Now he's saying, Ron, this is from the Old Testament. Here's the reality of it. Jesus reached back into this Old Testament and used this as the great commandment for you and me. And Moses says, and we have to commit ourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you. And I love these phrases. Repeat them again and again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, even when you're groggy and getting up. You see, I think we're catching some idea here that God desires us, friends, please hear me, God desires us to grow in order to help in multiple arenas of our lives. But the problem for Moses is that the exact opposite was true. Listen to Jethro's question. Moses, why do you do this while everyone else stands around you from morning till evening? The phrase gives a critical insight. Moses, please hear me, Moses was the center of all that happened. And I want to tell you, in the same great way, Moses was the center of all that didn't happen. He was the bottleneck. He worked and people stood around. All productivity, it centered around one person. And then Jethro says another thing. His father-in-law says, Moses, why are you trying to do this alone? And you know what's amazing to me? Isn't it amazing that it took an outsider to see the dysfunction happening inside? But why? Because they were comfortable. They were comfortable in the way it had always been done. I mean, how many of us heard this? This is how we always do it. This is how I've always been taught. And I want you to know those phrases can be some of the greatest roadblocks, bottlenecks, that any family or organizations will ever go through. And that's why I so strongly recommend for people struggling in their marriages to go to Christian counseling. Because I promise you, friends, sometimes you and I just need a fresh voice to ask us fresh questions. And sometimes you and I need help navigating the white waters of life. And listen, we all have white waters. There's no perfect family in this place. Every family has struggles and difficulties. We all have our white water that we have to navigate, that we have to work through. And just sometimes that place of being so comfortable, we can't see the forest for the trees, and we can't see the trees for the forest. And we need somebody else to help us. And please hear me, every couple, there's nobody, every couple brings some dysfunction, some unreal expectations into their marriages. That's always a potential that's carried over, to be honest with you, from the dysfunction we've learned by watching our families or the unmet expectations that we have from seeing how our parents have done things. Let me give you an example. I remember Ellen and I had been married about 6 to 9 months. And I'm just walking through the kitchen, and Ellen turns to me rather quickly. And she looks at me and she says, "I want to know something. Are you ever going to take out the trash?" Now, let me set a stage here to tell you the background that this dysfunction came from. Most of you know I was raised in the Deep South, and the culture in Ellen's home was completely different than the culture in my home. I never saw my dad do one domestic chore in my life. No, I never saw my dad ever take out the trash from the kitchen. My dad worked outside, did all that stuff for the house, but I never saw. My mom's domain was the kitchen. And if you tread there, you know? And so what I had seen and what I learned, I brought with me to our marriage. Ellen's family was completely different. Her dad fed the foster babies, cleaned up the foster babies, took out the trash and other things. I mean, he was disgustingly good at all this stuff. You know, he could fix anything. He could work on anything. I mean, Ellen and the boys, if they see me with a screwdriver and a hammer coming in the house, they're like, "Wait, time out, Dad. We can probably call somebody. I promise you. I'm sure we can get somebody on the line." And so, you know, that's the reality. Our total lives were so different coming into this. But being the very bright and insightful person I was, I mean that very sarcastic, okay? Being the very bright and insightful person I was, I knew by the tone of Ellen's voice and the force with which she said, "Are you ever going to take out the trash?" I knew that my domestic skills needed to improve drastically and quickly. And that was the truth. Because this is what else I learned. A part of Ellen's love language are acts of kindness and acts of service. Now I want to ask you something. Could I have been stubborn and stupid and not done something to change that? And I promise you this, I find great joy now. This is crazy. I find such joy working with Ellen in the kitchen. We talk, we laugh, we do all these crazy things. And what I found is that in my routine every week, I had the capacity to learn how to do some things I had never done. And what I did was, I hope, work to overcome. And Ellen, trust me when I say this, she's had to work a whole lot more to make up for my deficiencies. I shared that because I want you to know something. There is not one person in this place, please hear me, there's not one person in this place that does not have the capacity to be a bottleneck in some way, some facet of your life. Each of us, friends, each of us have to have the willingness to change and grow in order to move past these situations. It just doesn't happen without some effort of change, some willing to work, some willingness to talk and to listen and to try to decipher down what is at the core of this. Because I promise you, in most of the arguments and struggles that we have, there's an ongoing issue that needs to be at some point rectified and corrected. At some point, please hear me, at some point in our lives in some facet, you and I will be asked to move past ourselves, enable others and ourselves to grow past it. For some people, I want you to know, this is more natural than you can imagine. Did you know some folks are natural multipliers of themselves? But I want you to also know something, for some of us, it's not. You see, one of the things, there are some barriers that we go through in growing this way. First one is this. At some point, you and I have to move past the Messiah complex. Now, notice what it says in Exodus 18 about Moses. This is how Moses responds to Jethro, his father-in-law. Listen to these words. And tell me if Messiah complex is not written all over this. And Moses replied, "Because the people come to me to get a ruling from God." Woo. When a dispute arises, notice what he says. they come to me. And I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. Man, has Moses elevated himself to a Messiah place? And then it says, and I inform the people of God's decrees, and I give them God's instructions. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth, friends. Everything about Moses is based on I and me. I mean, the truth of the matter is, honestly, I can see how Moses got here. Can't you? Honestly, if you're the only one that can go to the mountain to hear God, wouldn't you feel pretty good about it? I mean, if you're the only one that can hold the staff of God and do great miracles, wouldn't you feel pretty good about it? If you're the only one that God speaks to in such a personal manner, wouldn't you feel pretty doggone good about it? I mean, honestly, in Numbers 12, Miriam and Aaron, they begin to criticize Moses. And listen to what God does in Numbers 12. It says, God responds to them for their critical remarks. And the Lord descended from the pillar of the cloud and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. And this is what he said, Aaron and Miriam, he called them out to step forward. And this is what he says, now you two listen to what I have to say. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, would reveal myself in visions to them. I would speak to them in dreams, but not so with my servant Moses. Listen to me. Of all my house, he is the one I trust. I speak to him face to face. I speak to him clearly. I don't speak in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. So why are you not afraid to even criticize my servant Moses? And then the phrase ends by saying this, and the Lord was angry with them and he departed. It means he kind of went off in a huff. Talking about a tough day. And I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know about you, but if God spoke to others about me like that, I might get a little Messiah complex myself. But listen to me. Listen to me. Moses knew what it was to be the man. And suddenly, Moses had to change to be an enabler of others. You know what? If you and I are in a leadership position, if you and I are in a leadership position, in order for the work and in order for the people around us to reach their maximum capacity, that can be at home or at work, they eventually have to outgrow us. And for this to happen, you and I have to move from being just a doer to a multiplier of others. Now, this is sometimes a little bit bigger step for others. How many of us are control people? You know, I mean, we're control folks. We hate to give up anything for fear that it won't be done the right way, which literally means it won't be done our way, is the real spiritual way to say it. At some point, for the Israelites to grow into the society that God needed them to be, they had to outgrow Moses. And Moses had to get over himself. And Moses had to become a multiplier of others. I want to tell you, this is especially true for us. It's especially critical for us, even in the life of the church, to understand every ministry we work with, it's never ours to control. It's ours to grow and to give away to others so that it can grow past us. Because if not, guess what a ministry does? It stays the same capacity as one hand. And God never designed the church to have a one-hand capacity of ministry. Never. He speaks to us all the time about multiplying and growing. It's so important for us to do. Now, finally, if we do that, the reality of it is at some point, you and I have to come to an understanding, if you will, of our limitations. Notice what it says. Jethro looks at Moses and he says, Moses, this is not good. You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is just too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. You see, this principle just simply teaches you and me that you know that there is not one of us that is gifted, called, or equipped to handle every and all issues. We're just not made that way. And this is so difficult for some of us because we have been taught to be answer people. This is my life. I'm speaking, this is a confession time to you. We are fixers. Our role is to have a definitive answer or a solution to any question and problem. In fact, we like people coming to us because it makes us feel needed and valued. And please hear me, this is a difficult issue for the high percentage of pastors, because we really like people to like us, And we like people to think highly of us. And we like to have some answers for people in their lives. And we function almost to meet those needs. And I mean, I'm being honest with you. This is what it was for me. But at some point, I had to realize that this wasn't about their needs, but my needs. Those were my needs, not just theirs. I was just putting them onto them to make certain that I could still be that answer person. And what happens in that is that I promise you, you and I are hindering other people from growing. Because if we always have the answers, friends, did you know we never give anybody else the capacity to learn the answers themselves? And sometimes you and I have to allow people to wrestle a little bit, to maybe wait a little bit, so that they can grow too, so that their capacity to learn and grow can move past what they have been created and what's been given down to them. Because I promise you, some people have been told all their lives, you need somebody else to do this for you. And that was because somebody else limited them. And we fall right into those roles without knowing it. And I'm going to tell you, there's one other reason. It's not because we're answer people. Some of us have a great, great difficulty at meeting our needs and limitations. Because we have a fear inside us that if we do this, we will appear inept, we'll appear weak, or we will appear imperfect, or we will appear flawed. And here's the truth I want you to know. Every one of us are all four of these or more. All of us have our ineptness, we have our weakness, we have our imperfections, we have our flaws. There is no one person in this place who has all this thing together. And this is a crazy thing, but it's really great news for us. I want you to know, just say to somebody else, we're all inept. Just say it right now. Turn to the right and left. Say, we're all inept. We're all weak. We're all imperfect. We're all flawed. And then say to them, especially you. Go ahead, do that. Some of you get the biggest kick out of saying that to people. And here's the really good news, and we need to close. The really good news is, Paul tells us, I love this, that our greatest weaknesses and limitations and imperfections and flaws can literally be nothing and can do nothing but create a venue for the limitless power of Jesus to be on display in us. I mean, isn't it crazy to think about? I mean, God has this crazy, uncommon way of creating equations. And God's equation for His strength is that it depends on mine and your admission of our weaknesses and our total dependence on His capacity to cover those weaknesses. You see, the greatest problem usually takes place, this is the truth, when we desire more for our power to be displayed than Jesus' limitless power to be displayed through us. You see, we have to understand that limitations are a part of every life because every person has them. In fact, Paul goes so far to say, you and I need to boast, listen to these words, boast and delight in our weaknesses. How freeing would that be if you and I could all just come to the capacity of growth as a human being, secure enough within ourselves, that we could boast to say, Lord, I want you to know, I have some limits here and I have to have you. I can't do this without you anymore. I just realized I've been lying to myself too long. And for one time, I want to lay these down. I want to be able to give them to you. And not feel broken in doing so, but feel freed. And I want you to know, I want you now to begin pouring yourself into me so that I can grow past my own fears and my own faults. Three times Paul says, I begged the Lord to take my weaknesses away. And each time He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in results, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. And I love the phrase that he twice says in this one passage. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Okay, one more story and we'll shut the thing down. This Thursday, well, Wednesday night, Ellen and I started noticing something, that our water smelled, that it was rusty. Our toilet bowls had just turned to rust, it seemed like, in 2 days. The capacity as we showered, it was honestly, we smelled worse after the shower because of the water. It was terrible. And so here's the thing, our kids are coming, you know. I mean, Morgan's coming. We can't let her first thought be, man, they got stinky water. I want you to know, you know. I mean, I'm on the phone Thursday morning early, and we have a specific water system that's different than any I've ever seen in my life. I go online, I find a plumber who services these kind, and I called him, and the guy says, listen, I'm sorry, we're all booked up. Now, I want you to know, if I have a gift, my gift is begging. And I'm begging, man. I mean, I'm telling you, I said, listen, buddy, this is my story. And I told him about the family coming. He said, I'm so sorry to hear that. We're still full. And I said, well, listen, man, you can't leave me in a lurch like this. I said, is there anything we can do? He said, give me 5 minutes. He talks the owner of the company to come to our house. And you can tell this guy had his little toolbox that he hadn't had out in probably 20 years. He walks in the door. I mean, man, he walks to the back. And I tell him, I said, you know, on the way, I said, I want you to know, we changed our filter in the water system. And boy, from that moment on, this is what happens. He opens the closet in the garage where the water system is. He hadn't been there 2 seconds. He goes, well, I know your problem. There's your problem. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, somebody has opened the bivalve. And what's that? What's the word it's called? I want to make sure you tell how really cool I am about this, because I have to be able to say this. He said, you've turned on your bypass valve. I said, is that a problem? He snickered, and then he went, yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's a problem. He says, you see, what you've done is you've allowed your water to run straight from your well into, so it brings all the dust. It's probably got even rocks in there a little bit. He said, so you're not filtering any of your water. I said, I'm gonna have to work with Ellen on that. I'm lying. I said, yeah, I wish she hadn't done that. I'm kidding. I said, buddy, I'm so sorry. I said, I mean this. I'm so sorry. I called you out here for honestly 5 seconds of work, and he turned the valve. And he said, you know, and I love this. He said, look at it this way. Your problem is fixed. And plus, I am going to continue to charge you for our call. I don't blame you. I love that line. The problem is fixed. The water's clean. There's no more rust. There's no more smell. The water's pure. And I thought about that for a second, and I understood that it's the same with the brokenness and the limitations of mine and your lives. Our ineptness, our weaknesses, our imperfections, our flaws. So redeemed by the grace of Jesus. So covered by the power of Jesus. It's crazy to think for me that God's solution for my greatest needs just simply depend on my admission of my need for Him. And my total dependence on His capacity. Don't you love this? Of His limitless capacity to cover them. Whew. For when I am weak, man, then I am strong. How do we truly grow ourselves in order to help grow others? This is the truth. We just let Jesus first grow us. Amen and amen.